In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Baptism is the work of God, not the work of man. God is the actor in baptism. God makes baptism what it is. God forgives sin in baptism. God rescues from death and the devil in baptism. God gives eternal salvation in baptism. Baptism saves because it is the eternal work of God. It is not a different salvation than his cross, but it is the way that God has chosen to give us the salvation of his cross. No one can baptize himself. In other words, no one can give these blessings to himself. No one does anything in baptism. God does it all for the individual. God does it all to the individual. For these blessings of his cross and resurrection are his, and he freely dispenses it to every nation in baptism. Even Jesus came to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. Jesus did not come to do something, but to receive something. The sinless did not push John aside and begin to pour water on his own head, but he willingly submitted to the hand of John. He stands idle in those waters, as John works. For baptism is the work that God does for someone else. So Jesus is there receiving what the Father and the Spirit is giving him. He did not choose to be the Christ. But when the time had fully come, God sent him into this world to be the Christ. He came to fulfill the Father's will, takes nothing for himself, but freely receives all that the Father had given to him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus declared. It has been given to him from the Father. And that is true even of this baptism. Jesus was always the Christ from the moment of conception on, but now he is publicly anointed as the Christ. And he carries out this office by being a prophet, a priest, and a king. He is a prophet who preaches the kingdom of heaven to Israel. He is the priest who makes a perfect sacrifice to atone for the sins of the world. He is the king who by that same sacrifice has crushed the ancient enemy and established his kingdom forever. He was always the Christ, but now he is publicly anointed as the Christ, so all the world might know who this Jesus of Nazareth truly is. And so he does nothing in those waters, but receives all that the Father gives him. It is the Father who says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It is the Spirit who descended from heaven to come to rest on Jesus. An external voice, an external descent, all directed at that man standing in the water, doing nothing, but receiving everything from God. If the baptism of Christ is from God, if Jesus did nothing in those waters, then how could we claim to have done something in those waters? Certainly John has a role, even as a pastor has a role, but they are nothing more than the hand that pours and the mouth that speaks the word of God. It is God, specifically Jesus, who comes to baptize you. Christ has baptized you, for you were not baptized into the name of any pastor. You were baptized into the name of Jesus himself. It is his word, his promise, his baptism, his water, his blessings that he has so freely bestowed upon you, oh, maybe so many years ago. For when that water is included in God's command and combined with God's word, then it is no longer ordinary water. It is divine water. It is a bath that regenerates and saves. It washes away every sin. No sin can hide itself in the crevice of your soul. For baptism has purged you of all sin. The water may have only touched your head, but remember that water is combined with the Word of God. So it rushes throughout your entire body, inside and out, organs and cells. Even your DNA is not left untouched. It even goes down to the very depths of your soul. For what good is a physical washing of the body? What good is forgiveness if it only cleanses the body but cannot remove the sin that clings to our souls? But God, who is rich in grace and mercy, instituted this bath, where he so thoroughly cleanses you inside and out, body and soul, that it remains true of you today, even these many years later. Yes, you still have a sinful nature. You still struggle against it. And at times it gains the upper hand, but it no longer controls you. Yes, you may have a checkered past. You have done things probably that you are embarrassed to think of, wondering how you could have fallen into such blatant, obvious sin. But that sin no longer defines you. Baptism is your present reality. You are a new creation in Christ. You are sons of God, saints of heaven, heirs of heavenly glory, because God has done something to you. He has made you different from what you once were. Or do you think that God has lied to you when he said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved"? Certainly not. But if you think that baptism is your work and not the work of God, then you end up forfeiting all the blessings of God. It would be as if Jesus told John the Baptist, "No, thank you, I'll take it from here," and begin to pour water on his own head. The individual who thinks that he is doing something for God in baptism is interrupting God as he speaks to say, "No, God, I love you." And he tells the Holy Spirit to stay in heaven because that individual wants to offer up his whole life to God. Sinners cannot open heaven. Sinners cannot give themselves forgiveness. Sinners cannot make themselves holy before God. Sinners cannot forgive themselves. Those who believe such things not only rob God of his glory, but also rob themselves of the comfort of baptism. So inevitably, they are baptized multiple times because the relationship with God is dependent upon what they have done, not upon what God has done. So you ask them, "How do you know that you have faith?" And they say, "Because I believe." "How do you know that you believe?" "Well, because I have faith." And around and around and around and around they go, constantly looking inside of themselves for certainty, comfort, and hope that God is their God, instead of looking outside of themselves at what God has done for them. But since baptism is the work of God, you have a place to which you can always go. You cannot deny that water has touched your head. It is an objective reality. And so here is your immovable foundation, your comfort. Here is your certainty that God died for you and rose on the third day for you. Here is your certainty. Water touched your head. So you cannot deny that all your sins are forgiven. It matters not what you have done, how far removed they are from the present, or how fresh in your mind that they may still be. You are forgiven all your sins because water has touched your head. You cannot deny that the devil has no authority over you. You have been rescued from his kingdom and brought into Christ's kingdom. The devil cannot control you or possess you or lead you, for water has touched your head. You cannot deny that death for you is nothing more. Even physical death is nothing more than falling asleep, because you have already been buried with Christ through baptism into death. Water has touched your head, so death cannot hold you. You cannot deny that heaven has been opened up to you, and you are a child of God, for water has touched your head. You cannot deny that the Holy Spirit has made you his temple and lives within you to sanctify you because water has touched your head. You cannot deny that this world will never overcome you, because water has touched your head. You cannot deny that politics cannot endanger your soul. Economies cannot dampen your joy. Mockery and ridicule cannot steal your salvation. Immorality cannot defeat you. Sickness, disease, cancer cannot deprive you of Christ. Even the loss of loved ones cannot rob you of salvation, because water has touched your head. You cannot deny that everything will be okay for you. More than that, everything will be glorious for you, because water has touched your head. Water included in God's command and combined with God's word, a divine water to cleanse you thoroughly. And so you stand with the beloved Son of God as sons of God, forgiven of all your sins and heirs of heavenly glory. Do not search in your heart for certainty of this truth, but look outside of yourself at God. Look at his work for you, his water, his word, his baptism, his blessings. And when you look at those blessings, when you look at that baptism, you are looking at none other than the Savior who died and rose for you and has given it all to you in that bath. As the baptism of Jesus revealed the Trinity to the whole world, so also your baptism revealed the Trinity to you. He is a God who saves, a God who gives all that he has so that you might have all that he is. If you want to make baptism your own work, then not only do you forfeit those blessings, but you actually stop seeing God as a God who saves. But if baptism is the work of God, which it is, then you have a Savior God who has accomplished all for you and has given all to you so that you might be his own forever. May we treasure this wondrous washing all our days. Live in it by daily contrition and repentance. And when our Lord wills, may we die in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.